Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cafe Esoterica Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Come on in, pull up a cozy chair, and listen to wonderment as we bring you the most enlightened guests on web radio. I am your hostess with the mostest, Sean Cohen. That's me, a psychic, medium, metaphysician, and teacher of esoteric knowledge for 37 years now and counting, which is why I am so proud and honored to bring you the authors and practitioners in the know from the mind, body, and spirit compendium of life, as well as astute divination and holistic health practitioners and experts, fabulous tarot readers, wonderfully wise and awakened astrologers, and even the odd rock star, just for your edification and enlightenment. We've been on hiatus, but we're back in the saddle again and raring to go for our fourth season of Cafe Esoterica Radio, broadcasting to you live every Thursday at 7 to 8:30 p.m. UK time, 2 to 3:30 p.m. EST, and 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. PDT, and worldwide. So find your time zone and dive in. Want to be part of the show? Call in on 516-387-1809. If you're outside the United States, dial the code first, which is 001. Chat in our chat room, which is located at the end of our landing page on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't see it there, then just refresh your page and it will appear. Can't catch us live? Not to worry. You will find us on many formats like TuneIn, Podbean, Stitcher, YouTube, and now Spotify. So grab your latte, cappuccino, or perhaps a herbal tea, and your best friend, and trip the light fantastic with us once more. And as always, your table is reserved. So come on in. And come on in. Welcome back, everyone, to Cafe Esoterica Radio on Blog Talk Radio. I am your hostess with the mostest, Sean Cohen. That's me. And, well, we've been away. It's been a good 6 months. Stuff happens, you know, when you're busy planning your life, other things come up. And so I took a longer hiatus than expected. But we're back. We have a great season ahead, a beautiful season ahead. I have booked some of the best guests. I always book great guests, but, you know, my guests now are even they're reaching a higher level of awakening and enlightened consciousness. And that's what my show is about. So if you've never been, if you've never seen my show live on YouTube, if you've never heard of it, let me give you a little premise so you know what we're about. My name is Sean Cohen. You heard in the intro. I am a psychic, a medium, a metaphysician, an author of 4 books, and I've been teaching esoteric knowledge, metaphysics, tarot, astrology for 37 years now. And I am American, but I live in London, and I've been here since 1985. So I have quite a wide sort of audience and a wide understanding of many, many subjects and things. I also was a nurse, and I'm very interested in holistic medicine. So my show is a combination of spirituality, metaphysics, holistic health, and anything in the alternative sort of viewpoint. I am here to awaken hearts and open minds. And my guest tonight, my very first guest back, is Chris Evers, who has a wonderful online magazine called Outer Limits Magazine, which I happen to write an article. I write the column for, amazingly enough. He asked me to a year ago, and it is absolutely right and true that Chris is my first guest back. as after our hiatus. So I'm going to get to Chris in a minute. I need to give you a little more show news and catch up on a few things. So since I've been away, as life is, things change. So our phone number changed. So if you want to call into the show tonight and talk anything and everything about aliens, UFOs, disclosure, have you seen a UFO? Have you met an alien? Have you been abducted? What's your story? We're going to talk about it tonight with Chris. And our new number is 858, which is actually San Diego, California, okay? But it's 858-956-3204. And you can call in, and we will take your calls. And I'm gonna interview Chris for a good half hour or so, and then I will pick up the phone for callers. If you would like to be on the show, maybe you've got something to say. It has to be in the mind, body, and spirit genres of life. It has to be either holistic medicine, spirituality, everything I just mentioned. And I am a big fan of music. So if you're the odd rock star and you want to come on, by all means. We have some very interesting guests lined up. One of them has to do with rock, actually, and I'll talk to you about that in a second. So you can get in touch with Sean, that's me, at Cafe Esoterica. So that's two E's in there, CafeEsoterica @gmail.com. And, you know, tell me your story. And if your story fits the show, by all means, I'll be glad to have you on. With pleasure. And the other thing that I'd like to talk about is the upcoming guest list, which is just amazing. We have so many great guests coming up. So let's just go through. This is my little contribution to the world. I just feel so happy and proud to bring these guests to you. They are absolutely amazing, each and every one of them. And they don't get on the show if they're not totally and completely open and awake and aware people. Their subject matters are as vast as they are, but each one, I feel, has something really amazing to share, and that's why they're on Cafe Esoterica Radio. So here we go. First one, of course, is Chris Evers, right? That's today. Next week, July the 4th, I was going to have a certain astrologer on who has unfortunately, can't make it. So I don't know yet who is going to be on next week to replace him. I'm looking right now for a guest for July the 4th. I did ask, somebody asked me recently, they haven't got back to me, so I can't even announce them tonight because I would have done. But if, you know, if we don't have a guest, it's all right. We'll do something. Don't worry. I can always pull cards or, you know, do something. July the 11th, we have Francesca Cassini. And Francesca is, amazingly enough, you know, we have in the women's movement, we have the Red Tent, you know, and my dear friend and colleague, a goddess herself, Katie Sophia, who was also my co-host for Cafe Esoterica's Astrology Summit last year. Katie does the Red Tent. And so Francesca does the silver tent. So women 50 and above, right, women like myself with gray hair or whatever, can come and gather and meet, and it's not competitive. It's full of love and support. And, boy, do we need that in our world today. So we're having Francesca on. The following week, July 18th, we have Fiona Dilson, who is a homeopath. You know I'm a big supporter of homeopathy. I always have been. And I raised my daughter with it. And so homeopathy with Fiona. And Fiona's specialty is losing weight with homeopathy, which, you know, you don't really hear in the sort of, you know, weight loss industry. You hear things like, you know, the keto diet and this, that, and the other thing. So let's talk about that because, you know, health is important. And feeling good about yourself and feeling happy in your own skin is extremely important. Okay, let's move on. July 25th, we have Maria Cronin, who's a naturopath. So we're in this kind of, you know, mind, body, and spirit story. we're moving down to August the 1st. This is what I was talking about, rock stars. I had a story go into a book called David Bowie, I Was There. And if you, which is amazing, but in 1980, must have been 1989, I was living in West Hampstead, and unbeknownst to me, walking down the street at night, I had just broken up with someone. I was living in a flat where he had moved out. It was a pretty bad breakup, too, you know, and I was walking down the Kilburn High Road, not far from where I live now, actually, but and on the corner was this big, well-known place for rock called, I think it was called The National, right? And, yeah, The National. And I could hear David Bowie singing. I couldn't believe it. I knew it was live because you could just tell the difference. And I was outside the venue, and he was singing. I heard, you know, Life on Mars. And I was thinking to myself, is that David Bowie? How can that be? Anyway, I moved back, and I saw the sign, Tin Machine. And I knew that David had created a new group called Tin Machine. So they were looking for, something came up on Facebook, do you know any stories about David Bowie? So I told this story how I wasn't inside the venue, but I was outside the venue. I walked home. That really lifted me to know that David Bowie was singing that song. And it just was an amazing synchronicity. And I just walked down, because I saw David in Pittsburgh, where I'm from, in the 70s. You know, it was just amazing. Anyway, so I walked into my flat. I opened the window, and I could still hear the whole concert. So it was a really special moment. And that story got in that book, David Bowie, I Was There. So now, weirdly enough, I'm in another one, and Richard wrote it, and Richard's written a lot of books like this. He didn't write that David Bowie book, okay, someone else did, but Richard Houghton, H-O-U-G-H-T-O-N, Led Zeppelin, I Was There, and I'm in that book, too. So he's my guest, August the 1st. That's going to be a great show. If you love rock and roll, he's written a lot of fan books, you know, so these are what people who've actually been at the venues, met them, whatever the story is, he's written quite a few of them, actually, and he's still writing them. So he's got plenty of stories left and plenty of books he's working on as we speak. Okay, moving on to August the 8th, P.D. Silvera. Now, P.D. and I go way back. P.D. asked me to be on her show many, many years ago, Pathways to Healing radio show, which I was on. Got to be 10 years ago. And P.D. is actually coming to London, weirdly enough. And P.D. is a past life regressionist, a therapist, and a healer like myself. And she's just written a new book. So I'm very pleased and proud to have her on my show as a wonderful, and she's probably going to sit here with me, actually, and be live in the studio with me. And then August, I'm just going a little more, and then we'll get to tonight's show. August 15th, so you can mark your calendars if there's something you really want to watch or something you really want to listen to. I say watch because I am on YouTube as we speak. I'm live on YouTube. If you're listening to me, Blog Talk Radio, if you're listening to me on that, great. If you're listening to me and you want to see me broadcast, then just come on down. I'm live streaming on YouTube. Just go to youtube.com/ Cafe Esoterica Radio, and you should find me, okay? The next show is August 15th on our rota here is Linda Moon. She goes by Moon Zlotnick, and she's an astrologer and an author. I love my astrologers, so I always have plenty on. A repeat guest who I love and adore, my dear friend Jackie Shawn, goddess of the holistic beauty industry, an award-winning makeup artist, and she's coming in to talk to us about all those nasty chemicals in beauty products and women's products that we girls and women should not be using, okay? So how to be beautiful holistically, naturally, without crap on your skin that's going to give you cancer, for God's sake, okay? And September 1st, I have an opening if anyone wants to come in on that. And then September 12th, Catherine Olivetti, a Jungian therapist and dream expert. So you can see we're pretty much mind, body, spirit. Everything's keeping to the rota. And I'm very proud and pleased to present these wonderful practitioners and authors and people to you. There's many dates available in October, a few in September. And now, what else? We're going to, I forgot. Since you've been away, I wrote a book, another one. It's called In This Metaphysical Moment, An Oracle of Time. And it's taking all the In This Metaphysical Moments that I do at the end of every show of Cafe Esoterica Radio, and I compile them into a beautiful book. And sure enough, the book's over there. So excuse me while I run and get it. Here it is. And it looks like this. Just showing it to my audience there on YouTube. And it is a beautiful oracle. You just open, think of a question. How's the show going to go tonight? Because I have a crappy computer giving me problems. Here we go. And I got a lovely answer. So every page has in that metaphysical moment that I did from whatever guest show this was, and you read the answer, right? Mm-hmm. And this is all about, interesting, this is another astrologer, and this is all about timing, so that's quite good. But you can see there's plenty of pictures in this metaphysical moment. Beautiful, there's Jackie's show. There are all different shows, but the things that I wrote about them, and each one gives you beautiful, beautiful answer to any problem. It's amazing how it worked out. And I was thinking of doing it the whole time. It's about magic, right? Each one has a subject. So it's stunningly beautiful. It really gives a lot of this kindred spirits. And the artist, different things. So if you want this book, folks, please go to my website, which is all the W's, tarotbysean.weebly.com, or go to my Facebook page, Sean Margaret Cohen. Now, last thing, so if you want this, you can buy it. It's a great gift, too. If you're thinking about giving someone a nice gift, a graduation gift or a wedding gift or anything at all, it would really work for any occasion. Beautiful esoteric knowledge in there. One other thing before I bring up Chris, he's very patiently waiting, is that I wanted to talk to you about, what was the other thing? Oh, God, I just forgot. So I've done the guest list, right? Hold on. Well, I can't remember now, so must be time to bring up our new phone number again if you want to call in. Folks, please do. Here it is. I'm just going back to the show page, and I'm going to get Chris's mic up. I won't bring him up just yet, just one more minute. Our new number, 858, area code 956-3204. We will take calls in the next half hour, 20 minutes to a half hour. If you want to talk about UFOs, aliens, anything about that subject, because the time has come, people, for us to know the truth. Really, the time has come. And we're going to talk about that right now. Now, let me introduce my guest. And I want to give him a proper introduction. So here we go. Chris Evers has held a long interest in the UFO and paranormal field. His interest began way back in 1974 while out playing as a 14-year-old child. He noticed a series of unusual lights moving across the early evening sky over his hometown of Kingston-upon-Hull. This sparked an interest, and he eagerly read the available books on the subject, mainly titles from authors and investigators such as American Major Donald Kehoe, titles such as Flying Saucers Are Real or Flying Saucers Have Landed. Also books written by Arthur Shuttlewood, namely The Warm Mist Mystery and the Flying Saucers. Chris continued to have an avid interest in the subject over the years. Eventually, he decided to produce his own desktop publication known as Faster Than Light, a magazine aimed at spreading the news about global UFO sightings. This was subscribed to from diverse areas of the world, such as Australia, Japan, many areas of the USA, and of course the UK. Chris was the founding father of HUFOS, H-U-F-O-S, Hull UFO Society, where he was the chairman for a number of years before stepping down and moving on for personal reasons. Also during the 1990s, Chris became an investigator for Quest International under the leadership of former policeman Tony Dodd. Chris also worked alongside noted ufologist Gary Anthony, and they jointly produced another desktop publication known as I Magazine, East Yorkshire Encounters. Just another minute here. During this time period, Chris forged friendships and acquaintances with Tony Dodd, Gary Anthony, Philip Mantle, Graham W. Birdsall, and Russ Callaghan, both of UFO Magazine UK, and also others such as Nick Pope. The latter two contribute to the new Outer Limits publication. Chris continues to have an avid interest in the subject, and because of this, both he and Malcolm have decided to work together on the Outer Limits magazine, which I write a column for called Metaphysical Magazine. And you can find Chris, his website is chris0597.wixsite.com/outer-limits-mag, M-A-G. He's also on Facebook, and there is a Facebook group for his radio show, which is also, it's called Inside Outer Limits Radio Show, and it premieres on the Paranormal UK radio channel. Chris, welcome to Cafe Esoterica Radio.
Hi, Sean. How are you? It's great to speak to you.
I'm good. Could you hear me properly?
You are going in and out a little bit, a little bit like a bubble, but I've actually got you on YouTube as well at the same time I'm talking to you. So you're on my cell phone on YouTube, and I've got you in my ears here.
Okay, because I had to take the mics out. I had my microphones in, right? I mean, my earbuds and my microphone, because you wouldn't hear the show. You would hear me, but you wouldn't hear the show. The show is on another page, you see? So,
yeah.
That's why I had to do that. I forgot. And I think it's important to have both if we can do it. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
If it gets bad, you'll tell me, right?
Absolutely. If I can't hear what you say, I will jump in, or I'll scream.
Please, because, you know, I have done whole shows where I had Michael Luton on a whole show. God bless him. He's New York's finest stories in the daily New York Daily News. And we did a whole show and couldn't hear it at all. That was amazing, right? I'm wiping my
face. Well, just before we go any further, Sean, can I just say
Yes. Welcome
back to your fourth season? And I do hope it's an absolutely enthralling and brilliant season for you.
Thank you so much, Chris. That means a lot. Thank you so much. I'm really
excited
about it. And I love doing it. It's just a matter of, you know, sometimes it's like a juggling act, all the balls in one air. And I'm working with I have two laptops, both of them somehow, and 1 week have all fallen apart. But we'll get by. We'll be fine. And next week I should have a new one and we'll be fine as well. So, Chris, let's go into the whole UFO story. So let me take you back, if it's okay with you, to your childhood. And you said age 14. I find that 14 is a very interesting age, and I'll talk to you about it on a metaphysical level. But tell us what happened at age 14 for you.
Well, the actual story does go back maybe a year or so earlier.
Okay.
I was staying at my uncle's home one night, and sleeping over, and couldn't fall to sleep. So I decided to, he had a load of books in the bedroom. So I was looking through the books, and there was books there about ghost stories, about UFOs and, you know, haunted houses and all this kind of stuff. So I picked one up and I just sat there reading it and eventually fell to sleep. So that kind of like sparked my interest. Coming forward a year or so, it was early February evening, 1974, and we'd moved to a new area of our city, Kingston upon Hull. It's known as Hull, situated about halfway up the east coast of the United Kingdom, halfway between London and Edinburgh, on the banks of the River Humber. We'd moved home to this new home, and they were building a shopping mall, what we would call a shopping centre, and on this mound, there was a load of mounds of mud which they'd moved the earth to, you know, to do the building, set the foundations and so on. So we're out one evening, around about 3:34, maybe 4:30 at the latest in the afternoon. And by then, at that time of year in the UK, as you know, Sean, it's dark. And we was all playing War, as we did back in those days. We didn't have laptops, we didn't have mobile phones, cell phones, you know. We had to make do with sticks and push bikes if we were lucky. So anyway, I'm adding away on top of this mound of mud. And I happen to look to the southeast, which is really to the direction of the River Humber, about 10 or 12 miles away. And I noticed this light flicker, disappear. Then I saw another light come on, flicker, disappear. This other light must have moved across the sky around about an inch, if you know, looking at it as in that distance, you know. It must have been something like maybe a mile, 2 miles or something like that. The light jumped. Anyway, I'm sat watching it and it caught my attention, and another light flickered, but in between the first and second lights, something had actually flickered in the middle. So this light seemed to leapfrog across the sky until it got approximately above where we were playing soldiers, playing War. At the time, we had a TV program in the United Kingdom, which was done by Gerry Anderson, called UFO. And Shadow and Ed Straker, and you know, it was a secret organization set up under a film studio to actually investigate and combat the aliens coming to the earth to nick body parts so they could live on their planet and so on. Anyway, like an idiot, I jumped up and, look guys, up in the sky, there's a UFO. Now remember, this was a clear cloudless sky. All you could see was a fantastic star field. Not many street lights around at that time. And as I shouted these words, look lads, it's a UFO, it blinked out and wasn't seen again. It literally stopped directly above my head, more or less. A couple of hundred feet up, you know, 1,000 feet up or something like that. But I never saw it again. It was that actually brought me into the subject more. And I started reading more books, as you've mentioned, and you know, gradually went from there. You know, a few years later, I got married, my first marriage, and had children, dropped out the subject a little bit. And then into the 1990s came along. We had a load of sightings in the Hull area again and around the United Kingdom. By this time, of course, Rendlesham Forest incident had happened and Roswell had become famous and these kind of things had happened. Anyway, in the 1990s, I set up a local group called the Hull UFO Society, which we pronounced as UFOS. And, you know, I ran meetings with that, put on small conferences and just generally encouraged people to investigate themselves and, you know, investigate their own sightings and bring them forward.
What an amazing thing, huh? It's very brave, you know. That's what strikes me. You could have seen it, walked away, said to yourself, I didn't see that, you know, that must have been the Russians, you know, or some craziness. But you saw it, you witnessed it, you said to yourself, yeah, this is real, this is happening, right? And created a magazine out of it, and a society out of it, a grouping of people who also are looking and seeking the truth. I definitely am a believer. I've seen a UFO myself, and I have, and not only, I'll tell you a quick story very, very briefly. I emailed you this or wrote to you on Facebook chat. I was teaching a group of students in London, 1991, And I lived in, I've always sort of been around this area of London, West Hampstead, Queen's Park, Kilburn, you know, somewhere around there. And at the time I was in West Hampstead, and this is before my daughter was born, and I had a group of students, and they usually come to a Monday night class, 7 to 9 or 9:30. And in the spring, in the summer, like now, it's light out till 10 o'clock. And we took a break, and back then, some of us smoked, you know. Some of us were avid cigarette smokers, right? And we went out on my balcony, and on the balcony, it was light out. And in fact, somebody took a picture of all of us. I have that group photo that I put up on Facebook every once in a while. And some of those students are still my friends today. You know, that was a very great group. I've had lots of good people come into my life that way, but this was really interesting. So we're out there. It's light time. It's about 8 o'clock at night, just like it is now in London. Very light out. And literally a UFO flew by, and you could not even think it was anything else. It had to be a UFO because it was the way it was. It was circular. It was like a flying saucer, okay, flying disc. And my students, we were all like, you could just see the mouth drops one by one by one, and we all looked and said, did we just see what we just saw? And funnily enough, they have no shame. They just show up in the middle of the city, right? And so we all said, well, we just saw a UFO. Isn't that magical, you know? And I remember in one of my songs for tonight, if it plays and I don't get tortured by YouTube about copyright, was John Lennon's, you know, Nobody Told Me, because the line in there, there's UFOs over New York and I ain't too surprised.
Yeah.
And that's one of our songs for tonight. If I dare play it, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how we go.
Well, you've actually mentioned two individuals who actually have had a long, long interest. I know John Lennon is no longer, and the one gentleman I'm going to mention as well is no longer with us. But David Bowie.
Yeah.
And John Lennon both had an interest in the subject. I mean,
David Bowie's song Space Oddity is the other one.
Yeah.
And I want to talk to you about this. So this is good. Let's talk about them. Go ahead.
Well, David Bowie had an interest, really. He actually used to produce a letter, a leaflet, or a small magazine, a publication back in the early 1960s himself about UFO sightings. But, I mean, for example, if you take Ziggy Stardust, one of his creations, you know, this creation was actually inspired by a gentleman by the name of Vince Taylor, who was a one-time rock and roll star himself, mostly popular in France. And in the early 1950s and 1960s, he fronted a band called the Playboys. And although as a group, they never really hit the heights of stardom in the UK or anywhere else, really. Quite popular in France, as I said, and other areas of mainland Europe. But Vince Taylor was absolutely obsessed with UFOs, flying saucers, as they called them back in them days, you know. And, it was absolutely obsessed with them. You know, at one point, he was... he used to carry maps around with himself of Europe and United Kingdom. And Bowie said he remembers him opening up a map once outside of Charing Cross Tube Station in London, putting it on the pavement and kneeling with a magnifying glass, and then started to point out all the sites where the UFOs were going to land. So, you know, Bowie has always had an interest in this, as well as did John Lennon as well.
It's interesting, too, they collaborated on a song together, which was Fame, right? And so they must have talked about it ad infinitum, the two of them, right? You can only imagine, be a fly on the wall in that conversation. But I also have, and again, this was one because my computer was giving me such a hard time uploading things and what have you. I might be able to play it. I might. We'll see. But Yes, the group Yes, and the album is Tormata, and it's the song is actually called Arriving UFO, and it's all about the same thing.
Yeah. Well, Bowie was it was absolutely sorry.
Well, I wanted to make a comparison between, now look at this for a second, Chris, and then we'll go into so much more because it is fascinating. I wanted to talk to you about, so I have these songs. Hold on, I'm getting all my papers here. Here. So David Bowie writes Space Oddity, 1969. And of course, whether you think they landed on the moon or not, that's another discussion. We'll get to that, right? But, you know, he supposedly wrote it because they were going to the moon, right? And that launched his career, basically.
Yeah.
And then, so you have here in 1978, so look at the dates, right? 1978, yes, Tomato, whatever it's called, which is a Yes album. I love Yes. Very spiritual, very esoteric group. And John Anderson's voice, gorgeous. And Arriving UFO, you know, that's the song. And the whole album has something to do with UFO stuff and aliens. And then you have John Lennon, 1979. So look where we're going here. This is a 10-year thing. Nobody told me there'd be days like this. And really it's about that he saw a UFO, you know. So we have a lot of UFO in the UFO. The thoughts, the talks, the songs, and there Styx wrote a song about it. So many different groups have written about it. You know, so it makes you wonder, why are we still asking the questions about UFOs? Why are we still not sure aliens exist? You know, honestly.
Well, I don't know if you're aware, but I've lost you, Sean.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know if you're actually aware, but there's some breaking news that has actually just come out. In the independent newspaper in the United Kingdom, they've just actually revealed that they've discovered a source of radio waves from one point in the universe. It's in a different galaxy, but they've actually triangulated it and found a pinpoint for... these radio waves that are being sent out, and these are basically one of the scientists whose name I can't quite remember at the moment. He says this is the evidence we've been looking for. This is the breakthrough we've been trying to find. I can see you talking on YouTube, but I can't hear you.
I'm not saying anything. I'm listening. Can you hear me now?
Oh right, okay. I can see you now. Yeah, I can see.
I'm
okay,
listening.
Got you. Unless my YouTube is lagging, that's all I can think.
Okay, go ahead. I'm just checking the Blog Talk Radio site for callers. Not yet. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
I
don't know if you're also aware, but people...
Yeah, that's fascinating.
I don't know if you're also aware, but, you know, but people like Mick Jagger and Paul McCartney, they all had an interest in the UFO field or flying saucers, you know. Mick Jagger is 75-year-old now. He said he sighted a UFO over the crowd during the Rolling Stones' infamous 1969 Altamont concert in California. You know, we've got Sir Paul McCartney and Mick Jagger, who were visitors to Desmond Leslie's home in Monaghan in Ireland. Now, Desmond Leslie also worked with George Adamski, and released a publication way back in, I think it was round about 1953. The co-authored a publication called Flying Saucers Have Landed, which was the first of several UFO themed books penned by Desmond Leslie. You know, so there are lots and lots of groups, as you say, that actually have an interest in this subject. And what is most staggering and most interesting is the New York Times headline from December the 17th, actually admitting that the US were investigating UFO sightings right up until at least 2012.
You see, I have it in my notes. After this, I think it's a good time. You know, SETI, SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial, whatever, International, I think that's what it stands for, right?
Yeah.
You know, they claim, see, I didn't know that. I didn't know that that new information, so that's good that you told me that. And thank you for telling us that. That's great to hear right here on Cafe Esoterica. There is life out there for sure.
Yep.
I always knew that, though. I always knew that. I'll tell you a story about myself when I was 4 years old, but let me go back to what we were talking about when we were talking about SETI. Now, SETI claims that they put all these huge, you know, I don't know what they are, communication instruments, you know, trying to receive signals and send signals out. And all these years, 40 years at least, since the 1960s, let's say, right? And there was, mm-hmm. and the Moody Blues, another group that talked a lot about UFOs, you know, a lot, in fact, many, many songs in there about UFOs. But there was 1967, there was a really big, big, big thing about UFOs, especially in the UK. I know because I was doing some research on the Moody Blues and their album it's in 67. And that came up anyway that I saw that. And I was thinking SETI came in somewhere around that time, as I recall. I don't know exactly the year, but somewhere in that time, right? And it's very, very interesting that how many decades later they're only now saying, oh, yeah, we got a signal. Because, you know, I don't know what you believe personally, but I, come on. We all know there's aliens out there. We all know there's different types, too. What do you think about that, about all the information about reptilians and grays and the archons or archons, whatever they're called, archons, and the praying mantis type and the Nordic type? And, you know, what do you think about all that? I'm sure you've heard of that, right?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, I completely agree, you know, that there are other intelligent life forms out there, wherever
yes.
out there is, you know, I completely agree with that.
Yes.
But whether or not they're actually visiting the planet is another question altogether. Now, I think mankind is a very arrogant species, and that we tend to think of ourselves as the most intelligent thing, you know, full stop. But
right.
No, you know, I mean, when we look at ourselves, we can only hear in a certain frequency, which I think is something like 20 hertz to something like 20 kilohertz. So, you know, what about the sounds that we can't hear? You know, so that tells us that there are things around us that we don't know anything about, that we can't hear, that we can't see, because we can only see in a certain section of light as well. You know, what if there are other things on in different areas that we can't actually see, we can't hear? You know, I think mankind is far too arrogant to believe we are the only existing intelligent species, full stop.
Mm.
Now, when we look at the things like the greys, a lot of people have described them, you know, but other things that people have described, like the Nordics, you know, the tall, blonde, Swedish, Nordic-type looking people. And these were from people such as George Adamski back in the 1950s. Back in those days, we had a lot of people talking about the Space Brothers who had come to help us. But now, over the years, all this has changed, and it's become, oh, no, we're being abducted. We're being taken away. They're harvesting body parts. They're doing this. They're doing that. They're doing the other. Things tend to go around in circles, as you're probably aware yourself, Sean. And, you know, I think at some point, we'll go back to the Space Brotherhood part of it all. And, you know, it'll go through it all again on a cycle. Now, there's been a lot of information quite recently about the infamous 1995 alien autopsy, which I'm sure that you're aware of, and your listeners may be aware of as well. The basic
yeah.
story with this is that in 1995, a gentleman by the name of Ray Santilli released some film footage that he claimed was the body of an alien that had crashed at the Roswell area of New Mexico. And you know, this had six fingers and six toes and so on. And, but it's been proven to be a hoax. But again, it's come back out of the woodwork, as it were, in some documentation that's come to light to the global UFO community. That was supposed to be a set of emails between Admiral Wilson, I think it was, and other people that were supposed to be high up in the American security services, claiming that the alien footage, this alien autopsy film footage, is correct. It is real. But, you know, we've recently interviewed a gentleman here in the United Kingdom for Inside Outer Limits radio show by the name of Spyros Malaris, who actually made that film footage for Ray Santilli. So, you know, whatever Kit Green and Admiral Wilson and the others are talking about, it isn't the footage that was created in 1995 by Ray Santilli through Spyros Malaris. Whatever they say they saw, we're not disputing the fact to the emails. They could very well be real. But, you know, what we are disputing is this alien autopsy film footage. We're saying that is a hoax.
Wow, that's so interesting.
So, as
you
I
know
say,
what?
Things go around
go
in circles.
Things go around
so,
in
sorry,
circles.
Sorry, I'm just saying, so things go around in circles and things come back around. It's 24, 25 years since the alien autopsy came out, you know. So this is, life is a circle, isn't it? Birth, marriage, death, etc.
I want to try and put in the song now, Yes, Arriving UFOs, done 1978. I don't even know if it uploaded properly, and if it doesn't, I'll stop it. And it'll give our listeners out there a little break to go get a cappuccino, a latte, a drink, whatever they need to do. We've been on air 43 minutes and 56 seconds. I can't believe it. It's gone so quickly already. And we have so much more to get through with our wonderful guest, Chris Evers, all about UFOs, aliens. He's the editor-in-chief and publisher of Outer Limits magazine, as well as he's the host, the co-host, of his own radio show called Inside Outer Limits Radio. And Chris, we're going to have a 6-minute break if this works. If it doesn't work,
that's fine by me. I can grab a drink.
Okay, good. So we'll be back with our guest, Chris Evers at Cafe Esoteric Radio. And I'm your hostess, Sean Cohen. Here we go. Okay, that doesn't sound right. Let's try that again. No, that's not right. Thank you. We are back. I'm sorry. I do apologize for that horrible tinny sound that came through there. But unfortunately, you know, there's something wrong with my computer. I tried to take it in. It's a big problem. I'm going to end up buying it. But anyway, I'm sorry. It sounds tinny. If you love Yes, the group, the rock group Yes, like I do, and you go to YouTube or anywhere, Spotify, and you listen to their music, you'll hear a lot of esoteric knowledge in it. You will also hear a lot about UFOs and things like that. And that song, if you go and listen to it properly, some nice videos with it on YouTube as well. If you go there, it's called Arriving UFO. It was done in 1978. I was 22 years old then. And there was nothing like there is today. Chris will back me up to have this information. No Google. The newspapers, I don't know if any of them ever wrote the truth. But anyway, we're back with Chris Evers. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Sean. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine. That song probably murdered the show. I'm so sorry. But, you know, I felt I wanted to play it, you know. I just thought, no, I want to play it. Anyway, okay. So let's go back to the things we were talking about. I'll tell you a story when I was 4 years old, okay? Mm-hmm. And this is very similar to what happened to you at 14. And there are these Saturn is all about maturity, and Saturn is the planet of karma, and it has to in astrology. And I know you're married to an astrologer, so
that's correct.
You probably understand this, but there are Saturn ages 7, 14, 21, 28. You have your first Saturn return, and so on. So, you know, 14 was a big wake up call sort of time for me, too. But for me at four, I don't know what, 4 years old, I was sitting at the top of my bunk bed in my home in Pittsburgh where I grew up. So if I was born in 56, it was 1960. Okay. And I looked out of my window.
That's the year that I was born.
You were born in 1960, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I looked up in the sky, filled with stars, and I saw these three triangular shapes. And one had blue light, like moving around it, okay? Like it was like the light was almost fluid, moving up in this triangle. The next one was gold, like a yellowy gold, and the next one was white. And I never forgot it. And my little soul, who was very unhappy where she was, said to herself, doesn't matter what happens there from there. No, let me take that back. It went like this. It doesn't matter what happens here. I'm from there. I remember that to this day.
Mm.
So, you know, wow, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think star seeds are amongst us. And I think we're all aliens in other lives. I do. I'm sorry, but I have to say it, right? So what do you think about all that? Do you think that in previous lives we've been aliens and this is a life on Earth and another one will be? Yeah.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, there are different frequencies that we can't see. Now, who's not to say that people or other beings, etc., live within these frequencies that we can't see? You know, I am a little bit different in my own personal opinions in that I don't believe in reincarnation. I believe that once we've passed on, we've passed on.
Okay.
And You know, people talk about the soul, and you know, to me, I am a soul because I had the breath of life breathed into me when I was created, basically. So that's how I view that. You know, it's a completely fascinating subject, and there are many, well, as many as people that are alive on the planet. I think we all have a different opinion.
There is. I mean, it's a very interesting subject. I've been a past life regressionist since 1984. I've taken thousands of people back to past lives under not even hypnosis, really a meditative state, because we do keep these memories. They're in the subconscious mind. Like, you have the memory, if I hypnotize you back to your babyhood, you would know everything, you know? But so we can, there's a wonderful author, doctor of psychology called Dr. Michael Newton. And I would definitely recommend his books, because he did hypnosis for 40 years before he ever even wrote a book. And he's written about the life in between lives, which is our life in heaven and then how we choose our lives ahead.
Yeah.
There's another book I recommend, which is called Your Soul's Plan by Robert Schwartz. Another fascinating study of how we choose to and why we choose to incarnate, if we choose at all. We don't have to, but if we do. So I just think that if life is a one-shot deal, nobody wins. How can you learn everything in one life and be enlightened? How can you do it? How? You can't.
Mm-hmm.
How? And what is enlightenment?
Well,
go on.
So I was just going to say, you know, do you take the word of the Bible as being God's word? Let's change the subject slightly. You don't?
No.
Right, okay.
No. The Bible's been bastardized many, many times. That's not to say there isn't words of God or knowledge in there, but every single word? No. Are you kidding? No.
Right, okay. Obviously, it's been translated many, many times over the years, you know, and people have taken these and those out and put, you know, you and me and et cetera, in. And, you know, so it has been changed over the years. I'm not going to deny that. But there is one scripture which I think is in Ephesians 5, where it talks about the soul that is sinning it itself will die, you know. So, and it also describes souls being in a boat, rowing in a boat. This was when, allegedly, I think it was Paul, travelled across, what was the other gentleman's name? Paul. It was first Pope, allegedly. I forgot his name. Anyway, it don't matter. He was travelling across in souls, and the ship wrecked it off Malta. And it's described as there being several souls in the boat that were saved. Now, if these were souls, like something out left the body, you know, when we pass on, then obviously they can't be rowing a boat. Do you know what I mean? So it's a fascinating subject.
Yeah, it's another subject for another show, because our show is about UFO and aliens, and we're going to stick
absolutely
to that. That's you're the expert, and I want to hear what you have to say about it. So let's talk about, because I can't believe how quickly it's going. We only have a half hour left. I can't believe it.
Oh,
so
right.
I want to ask, because we're finishing at 8:30, right? So 8:30 UK time. Chris, listen, I want to talk about, you have, first of all, let's talk about your magazine and how people can subscribe to it, and who writes for it, what you write in it. Let's talk about Outer Limits Magazine and when you began it and how they can find
it. When I came back to the subject approximately 2015, after about a 10 or 12 year break, I was talking to one or two friends, and you know, they suggested that I put the magazine together, really. And so I contacted a few people. We have a gentleman over here by the name of Malcolm Robinson, who's is a bit of a ghost hunter, a bit of a ufologist. You know, he does anything paranormal he's interested in.
Right.
And it's an old friend again from the 1990s, when I was, you know, majorly involved in the subject. And I asked him if he'd come along as an associate editor, and he said, yeah, of course I will, you know. And he provided me a lot of information, a lot of stories, some publications he's been involved with in the past. And the first issue went out in, let me think, it's about 3.5 years ago now. And we're up to issue 21, which is coming out in August. But the magazine itself can be found, if people want to look, as you mentioned earlier, for chris0597.wixsite.com/outer-limits-mag. All the details are there. It's a subscription-only magazine, and it comes in a PDF format directly to your own desktop. And you can download it from there and print it off if you wish. It's £9 a year, which is approximately about $12, plus a small PayPal charge, because obviously, you know, they want to make some money doing it as well. And, you know, it's there. We cover all different kinds of information. We have everything from ghosts, Atlantis, esoteric stuff from yourself, Sean, which I'm really, really pleased and enjoy that enjoy the stuff that you provide for us. Really good reading. But my own particular interest is in the field of ufology. So we do tend to concentrate a lot more on UFOs and what's going on with that. And obviously, you know, it's six magazines a year, once every 2 months, August, October, and so on. And you know, it's really is one of, it's been actually awarded second best magazine in the country. I apologize, third best magazine in the country in its first year when we came out about 2.5 years ago.
Isn't that amazing?
Magazine of its type, should I say.
I'm typing
Thank
in for
much.
The you're very welcome. I'm typing in just the link to the magazine on the YouTube chat. So if anyone doesn't know or wants to find it, it's here on the YouTube chat. Let me just get it up there. So it's Chris, I'll say it out loud if anyone's listening to write it down, 0597 dot Wixsite dot com, and it's /outer-limits-mag. So you can find it there.
Yes,
folks.
Absolutely. They can also find us on Facebook. We've got an official Friends of Outer Limits magazine Facebook page. There's also the magazine page itself on Facebook, just the same name, Outer Limits magazine. And of course, the Inside Outer Radio show is there as well.
Friends of, and I'm just writing that down, Outer Limits magazine. There's a lot of good stuff that's posted in these in these groups, because I know I'm involved with them too. Friends of Outer Limits magazine Facebook group, right? And your name too, Chris Evers. And can I just give people, is it okay to give an email address for you?
Absolutely. If I use the magazine one, which is
okay,
all one word, The Outer Limits Mag.
The Outer Limits Mag at?
And that's at gmail.com.
Yeah. That way, if anyone wants you on their show or anything else, then they know how to get a hold of you. And also, let's talk about your convention now. You've got a big convention coming up. Talk to us about that.
Well, the Outer Limits Magazine Conference this year is Saturday the 17th of August 2019, and it's at Pontefract Town Hall, Bridge Street, Pontefract. And we have got, coming across from America, a gentleman by the name of Calvin Parker, who in October 1973, after a day at work, he'd gone out fishing with his work colleague, Charles Hickson. They'd gone onto the banks of the Pascagoula River in Mississippi, and were out there fishing, and they became the catch of the day themselves when they noticed a set of blue lights behind them, and they thought it was a police car. So they turned to look, and they saw this teardrop-shaped thing floating above the ground with three what looked like robotic creatures coming towards them. They were kidnapped by these creatures, taken on board the craft, and but it was only a short kidnapping, a short abduction. They believe they were only gone for about 20 minutes. And unfortunately, Charles Hickson is no longer with us. But this year, we've got Calvin Parker travelling over to come and give us a talk. And I'll be presenting information about the alien autopsy film footage, which is just once again, as I mentioned earlier, coming to the forefront once more. We have Philip Kinsella, who's basically is presenting a talk about the Greys and what he believes their agenda is. We've got Malcolm Robinson speaking about a famous event from Scotland where a gentleman was walking in the woods there and he saw something unusual on the ground. And what he described as three, I don't know if you remember, people will remember that, like the floating mines from the Second World War, that you used to have like spikes sticking out of them. Well, there was a craft landed on the ground, and from this craft, these two man-like devices came across to him, actually ran over him, ripped his trousers, and it absolutely terrified him to death. All he was doing was taking his dog for a walk. And so Malcolm's going to be talking about that. And we have another gentleman by the name of Paul Sinclair, who's a local person from Marwood Neck of the Woods. And he's talking about unusual events that are going on in the East Yorkshire, North Yorkshire area concerning missing time with people, unusual UFO landings and so on. We're presenting awards to people. And we have a gentleman coming across from Greece. I can't even pronounce his name, I'll call him Stephanos, and he's coming to do a talk about how he met Charles Hickson. And we've got another gentleman whose name I'm not going to mention yet, but it is very, very, very relevant to what is going on today with this new documentation from Admiral Wilson and so on.
Wow, full story there. And how can they get tickets, Chris? How can they book
If you go to the magazine website, Sean, there's a conference page on there. So at the top of the page, it just says Conference 2019 and all the details are on there. It's £20 a ticket plus £1.80 PayPal charge. And the tickets will be posted out to them, but they must give us 14 days minimum to actually receive the tickets. Now, I must admit, time is getting on. So if people do want to get tickets to come and numbers are beginning to run low, then I would suggest that people get in touch with us as soon as possible.
And what is the date again? Give us the date.
The date is Saturday, the 17th of August this year, Pontefract Town Hall, which is, of course, in Yorkshire in the United Kingdom. And, you know, all the details are on the website.
My door just shut from the wind with that one. Okay, so Saturday, the 17th of August, 2019. And it sounds like an amazing, and this is the first one you've had. Is this the second or the third?
This is the third one that I've done. You know, the door's open at 10 o'clock in the morning. The first speaker is up at 10:30 and the day finishes at 7 p.m. So we've got a long, full day of information that we're passing on to information, you know, passing on the information to people. Really, we want people to look for the truth themselves and find the truth themselves, do their own investigations and don't just accept what is being said. We want people to find the information, check it out, look into it.
See, it's a very interesting subject, and there are so many branches to it. And if you look at, for instance, years ago, many years ago now, it's got to be 8-10 years ago, I don't know, Ancient Aliens came on TV.
Yeah.
And what's his name, George? George with the
is
Greek
it Sukalis? Surname. George Sukalis?
Yeah, George, yeah. You got to give it to him, man. He opened up the subject and brought it to, you know, TV, didn't he? And
yeah, absolutely.
Not that it hadn't been there before. Star Trek, 1960, Gene Roddenberry.
Yeah.
But I think it's very interesting. Watch that show, like many people, addictively, like every week. Wow, mm-hmm. This, that, the other thing. And how can you not be convinced? The thing is, though, and here's my million-dollar question, okay? Here's my million-dollar question. If God created humans, right, then he must have created aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And if he created aliens, why did aliens have to give us their DNA? You know, there's a whole thing about the Anunnaki, I'm sure you know this, that took the hominoid human, right, and injected their DNA in to create basically the human race. Now, you either believe God made man and woman in his image or you don't. You know, you either believe that aliens created us or you don't. It's a huge discrepancy, and I'm curious what you think about that.
Well, when we look at our, I'll say creation for want of a better word, when we look at that, I think personally, and this, I'll be honest and truthful with you, I don't actually believe God exists, to be quite honest with you, Sean. I think God was created to explain away the questions that ancient man couldn't actually answer. Oh, God made it. Oh, well, how did we get onto the planet? Well, I know my mum and dad made me, but how did my mum and dad... Where do we come from? Oh, we come from Adam and Eve. Now, simply because we couldn't fathom, or early man couldn't fathom in their own minds, how to work out about DNA, about sperm and the egg meeting, etc., etc. Yet, you know, it was an excuse to explain where we come from and why we exist. I actually think that we have evolved over time, to be quite honest with you, Sean. That is my honest opinion. But, you know, if it can happen here, we can evolve here, why can't it happen elsewhere in the universe? You know, when we go back to the mid-1990s, the only planets we knew about, even astrologers knew about, and I know Pluto's been demoted as a planet, but not to astrologers, you know, but if the only planets we knew about were the nine that existed in the mid-1990s, including the Earth, we knew about all the suns in the universe, well, not all of them, because obviously the universe is mind-bogglingly big, as it once said on a TV program. You know, it is a massive place, but the suns we can see, we know they exist. Then from the mid-1990s up to today, we've discovered how to detect planets moving around suns, because the suns dim as the planet goes across the front of it. And they've discovered, I think it's something like 3,500 extrasolar planets. Now, one of those suns, which is I think it's in the Zeta Reticuli system, has got about four planets in what is known as the Goldilocks zone, which is the habitable zone where it's not too dark, it's not too cold, it's not too warm, etc. And maybe one of those have got life on it, you know. And if it can happen here, it's got to happen elsewhere.
Of course, this is only natural assumption. If you even just use logic, logic would tell you that if we have so much, look at the variation of plant life, look at the variation of animal life, of insect life. You know, clearly there's a variation of human life, you know, or whatever you want to call, you know, us, you know, for souls incarnated, in my opinion. In different forms, different casings, if you will. And while we're on that subject about the different aliens and abduction, which you mentioned, people coming to your conference talking about being abducted, I think there's a big thing. This has also been talked about many times on UFO Hangar One and Ancient Aliens and all the different, you know, Jesse Ventura. And many conspiracy shows that the Greys are abducting and have been abducting humans for a long time, and basically using us as you know, baby factories, basically, and taking the sperm, taking the egg from women, and to save their race. What do you think about that? And have you had speakers talk about that in your conferences?
Well, we had Colonel Holt from the Rendlesham Forest incident come last year to the conference, and you know, he saw something come down in the woods, so near the Rendlesham Forest airbase, you know. So yes, things are coming, they are landing. And now I run a group on Facebook by the name of Concern, C-O-N-C-E-R-N, Concern. It's the Contactees Close Encounter Resource Network, where people come along. We accept everything that they say. We're not critical. We people come along, they share their experiences, help each other, talk to each other. So I would say something is happening. Absolutely. I've seen film footage, photographs of some very, very unusual balls of light moving around and other things that cannot be explained logically, as we mentioned a moment ago. Something is happening. We are in a time now of disclosure, in my opinion. We're not going to get the White House lawn landing, but information is coming out on a steady stream. You know, and when we look at, as I mentioned earlier, the New York Times article where the, you know, the Department of Defense in America admitted that they had run this study of unexplained aircraft up to at least 2012. And as far as I know, it's still going on. You know, we are in that time of disclosure. Look at Tom DeLonge from Blink 182. He's set up to the Stars Academy, which is there is a new TV series that is being shown on the History Channel from Tom DeLonge's company. He's got people from the CIA who are actually backing him with what he's saying. They're bringing out information that we are being visited. We have unusual craft in the sky that are unexplained and can do unusual maneuvers. I think aliens are visiting.
Oh, definitely. And I wanted to tell you that even though my group, 1991, my students and I witnessed a UFO flying by West Hampstead, my daughter went up to Wales. And Wales, where she was, very open. You know, there's no city lights, and the sky is filled with stars. She was on one of these, I forget what it's called, where the kids go. It's like a camping thing. And her and her boyfriend, same year as her, same age as her, same class as her, they were sitting on this mountaintop in the evening, pitch black sky, big bright stars, and sure enough, they saw a UFO. And my daughter, as much as I'm very spiritual, metaphysical, she's very grounded, my daughter, she would never tell me that if she didn't see it with her own eyes. So I really wish, you know, Mom, I saw a UFO, my boyfriend and I saw a UFO. So, you know, I wanted to tell you another story about a previous guest on my show called Greg Prescott, who runs a site called in5d.com, very well known, millions and millions of hits every day all over the world on YouTube, on Facebook, on the web, right? Mm-hmm. In5d.com. And Greg lives near where my mother used to live in Sarasota, Bradenton. He lives he's living in Siesta Key, which is just down the road. And he told me he sees tons of UFOs there. I mean, Florida is a hotbed of UFOs. And a lot of them come out under the sea, under the water.
Yeah.
So they're actually in the ocean, right? And people witness them coming out, just, you know, the lights coming up from the water, from under the water, and zoom, take off and go. So I don't know if you've heard that or, you know, anything like that, but that's fascinating.
Well, absolutely fascinating. When we go back, I can't remember if it was the 80s or early 90s now, the Gulf Breeze series of sightings were quite interesting. Even though some people don't believe they were real, I think at least one event did happen there, which was this craft coming out of the sea. It was photographed and so on. And then a few months after the gentleman who photographed this moved to a different property, there was a scale model built, which people found at his old home. So they actually debunked what he said he'd seen, etc. But I think he'd actually seen something originally. And now we mentioned Tony Dodd earlier on. And he was an ex-police sergeant in the UK police force here in Yorkshire. And unfortunately, Tony's no longer with us again. And he was a great believer that UFOs did have bases somewhere in the North Atlantic under the ocean, somewhere between, I think it was the Orkneys and Iceland. So he was quite a big believer in that.
Well, they think... you know, there's the old adage of, you know, Atlantis being off the coast of Florida, you know, towards Bimini, which is in the Caribbean. And, of course, then you have, if you go down there, you're talking about the, you know, the triangle, the Bermuda Triangle. And where all these ships and boats and airplanes have disappeared, you know, and why have they disappeared? And one sort of conspiracy story after another, just like a big snowball, it escalates, you know. It's clear that something is going on, isn't it? It's clear that we are not alone, yes.
Absolutely, yeah, we're definitely not alone. But there is, I don't know if people will have heard of James Cameron, he's the director of the Titanic movie.
Yes.
If you get a chance, see if you can find Atlantic Rising, which is actually a true story of his quest to discover where Atlantis is. It's just been on TV here in the United Kingdom.
I just saw it, believe it or not.
Right,
I know.
Well, have a look for that. And there's a lot of information in that. We had an article in an earlier edition of Outer Limits magazine, which would suggest that Atlantis was a place that did actually exist, but it was on the Atlantic coast between Gibraltar and Portugal in Spain. And a very, very fascinating article. In fact, Sean, what I will do, if I can, I'll go to my old magazines on my PDFs there, and I'll copy it all out for you and send you it.
Okay, I'd love to read it. I would. I read Edgar Casey's book on it, and I've been a big sort of Atlantis. I think a lot of, I know reincarnation is another story for another time, but I believe a lot of Atlanteans are back to help bring in what we call, there are millions of light workers on the planet as we speak right now, and there's got to be a reason that people like myself are here, people like yourself, people like your wife, an astrologer. People have to find out who they are, why they're here, what's their purpose, and it isn't just because the sperm met the egg. I'm sorry, there's a bigger purpose at work here, and this is my quest, to kind of bring this information forward. Now, Chris, you can't believe it, my dear friend. I can't believe that we're almost out of time. We've got 5 minutes left. How did that happen?
Okay.
How did it happen?
Time is a man-made concept. I just want to back you up, Sean, with what you've just said about us having a quest. This is why the first caveman and cavewoman actually climbed over the first hill that they saw and decided to walk into the next valley. Mankind has been on a quest for information and, for an explanation, basically, as to who, why, what we are and why we're here. And that will carry on for millennia.
I agree with that. I think it's a never-ending quest. Joseph Campbell said, the great mythologist said that the quest to know thyself is the number one quest of all quests, and it really feeds the whole hero's journey, which we're all on some level, we're all trying to find our way home, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Chris, on that note, I got to have you on again. It went too quickly. And thank you so much for being my guest today. I love writing for your magazine. And, folks, it is a wonderful, chock full of amazing stories and amazing insights in the UFO, alien, and everything to do with that field. And also you have paranormal stuff in there as well. And so, Chris Evers, thank you very much for being on our show today, on my show, my first show back as well. Thank you. And carry on the good work.
Thank you very much, Sean. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I'd be happy to come on again at some point once again in the future. And we can further this conversation a little bit more.
Definitely. I'm going to play us out with Space Oddity by David Bowie. If it works, please God, it does. And because I have to, right? And before we go, I always do my little in this metaphysical moment. And so I'm going to read that, she says, having not in front of me. Where is it? It is over here somewhere. Here. And no. Where is it? My God, I lost it. Hold on. Here it is. Okay, in this metaphysical moment, and so our fourth season begins as we wander through our new series of outstanding guests in the mind, body, and spirit fields, those who are in the know and leading the way for others to observe, witness, be like and see that the future of our human race, our spiritual quest, can be bright, can be illuminated by their light. When the world is in such tumult, when its political leaders all fail us, when we have no idea who we are, why we are here, and what is our purpose on planet Earth, can we not look to those who give us their knowledge, experience, and time? Many are called, but few are chosen. In this metaphysical moment, I ask the bigger question. I seek to see beyond my own small life and my own little community. I look to the heavens. I look to our star brothers and sisters. I look to the galaxies and their many, many planets, and I know that I am never alone. My work here is to serve all, help all, and love all. On that note, thank you very much to my guest, Chris Evans. See you next week, July the 4th. I don't know which guest is coming yet, but surprise, surprise, we'll see who's with us then. Thank you, everyone, for coming back and listening once again to Cafe Esoterica Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Find us on Stitcher, Podbean, TuneIn, and now on Spotify. And here we go. Goodbye, good night, God bless. David Bowie, Space Oddity.
Ground control to Major Tom. Control to Major Tom. Take your breath.
Thank you, everyone. Good day. Good night. God bless. See you next week. Bye now.